Is that Lucy or my father? I found both of their numbers on my phone, and I left anxious, rambling messages for each of them to call me. I'm desperate to speak to somebody from my old life. But when I pick up the phone, there's a text message from an unknown number. $121. I frown at my phone. I type in a response. Who is this? Maybe it's a telemarketer. Do telemarketers send text messages? I don't remember anything like that, but things are different now. Any message involving money has to be a scam. $121 for the air fryer. My eyes snap up. What is going on? Why is somebody texting me bids for an air fryer? Then the host announces to the audience, "The actual price of the air fryer is $124. I write again. Harry? It couldn't be, could it? Harry is gone. That's what the letter said. That's what Graham said. I wait for a reply. Three little bubbles flash repeatedly on the screen. After a minute, it finally comes. Meet me. It's entirely possible this is somebody who's messing with me. But for me and Harry, watching The Price is Right was kind of our thing when we had a weekday morning free together. Nobody else knows that. And if it's him, what does he want? But it doesn't matter. If this is really Harry, if there's even a chance of it, I'm meeting him. There's no way I'm not. Camila said that after she was done upstairs, we could walk Ziggy to the dog park together. I looked down at my watch. It's 10:30. She's probably almost done up there. So I compose my response. Meet at dog park at 11. The reply comes almost instantly. I'll be there. And then a few seconds later, delete these messages. I do as he tells me. Chapter 21. At 11:05, Camila and I set off in the direction of the dog park. I put Ziggy on a leash, and he is almost deliriously happy to be going out with us. I wish I could feel as much happiness over anything as my dog feels over going to the park. You would have thought having memory problems might help me live in the moment, but it doesn't. Although, to be fair, I was a lot happier a minute before I got that text with the price of the air fryer. How long have you been working at our house? I ask Camila as we fall into step together on the sidewalk. Camila blinks up at me. She is beautiful, the kind of woman men write poetry about. She has these big brown eyes with the longest eyelashes I've ever seen, and big, pouty lips. She was obviously born with these features, no fake lashes or lip filler, and the worst part is she doesn't even seem aware of how gorgeous she is. About a year since your accident. So you probably know just about everything about me, huh? She flashes me a smile that shows just a bit too many teeth, but it's strangely endearing. Try me. I bite my thumbnail, trying to think of a fact about myself that could not have changed in the last 7 years. When is my birthday? Easy. February 14th, Valentine's Day. You said you always get shafted on presents. That's true. Before I met Harry, every guy I ever dated combined my birthday gift and my Valentine's gift into one Uber gift. But Harry made a thing out of insisting both occasions needed to be celebrated separately. So he would give me my birthday present at 1 minute after midnight on my birthday, then a Valentine's Day present the next evening. I wonder what Graham does. What's my favorite movie? I ask. She tuts. You don't think much of me, do you? It's The Princess Bride, obviously. Favorite song? Trick question. She flashes that toothy grin again. It's a tie between Unchained Melody and Hey Jude. At some point, I must have shared all these little tidbits with Camila, but it's strange that even though I've only met her this morning, she knows everything there is to know about me. It also seems a bit unfair. Now it's your turn, I say, as Ziggy bounds forward, causing my body to jerk. I want to know about you. She shoves her hands into her jacket pockets. My favorite movie is Do the Right Thing. My birthday is March 2nd. Don't worry, I programmed it into your phone since I know you won't remember. I shake my head. No, not that stuff. I want to know something about you that nobody else knows. Her eyebrows shoot up. That's a little personal, isn't it? Especially considering that in your head, you only just met me this morning. That's true, I acknowledge. But you've been with me day in and day out for an entire year. And also, who is the better person to tell your secrets to than somebody who won't remember it tomorrow? She puts her hands on her hips. You're very persuasive, aren't you? I've been told I'm a successful businesswoman. Her expression is amused. Okay, I've got one. This is something I've never told anyone before. Ever. I clutch my free hand to my chest. Your secret is safe with me. So, when I was in kindergarten, my teacher took off her wedding ring to go wash her hands at the sink in the back of the classroom. And while she was washing her hands, I took her wedding ring and... She takes a deep breath. I ate it. It's the last thing I expected her to say. Despite everything, I burst out laughing. It's not funny, Camilla cries, although she's laughing too. I've been carrying this burden around for 20 years. I felt terrible about it. She was looking everywhere for it. She left school crying. Why did you eat it then? I don't know. I was 5. I'm laughing so hard now, tears are running down my face. Through my chuckles, I manage to say, I'll take it to my grave, I promise. She nods solemnly. Thank you. Camila's confession has diffused some of the tension between us. As I grip Ziggy's leash and Camilla adjusts her purse string on her shoulder, we could be two girlfriends hanging out together, rather than what we are. Now that I know her a little better, I finally feel brave enough to ask the question that's been going through my head since I woke up this morning. What do you think of Graham? She stops walking for a beat and looks at me curiously. Graham is nice, she says carefully. Why do you ask? Why wouldn't I ask? I point out. I mean, I just met him this morning, but apparently I've been married to him for the last 4 years. Camilla laughs. Yeah, I'll bet that's weird for you. You think? She kicks at a crack in the sidewalk with her sneaker. Don't worry, he won't make you do anything you don't want to do. I mean, tonight. It takes me a second to catch on to what she is saying. Graham is my husband, and tonight he might expect me to. Oh God, I can't do that. My fingers tighten around Ziggy's leash. I don't even know him. Relax, I just told you, he won't ask you. How do you know? She lifts a shoulder. I've stuck around a few times in the evening. You usually get pretty groggy around dinner time. You almost always go right to bed. I think of the words scribbled on my thigh. Graham is drugging you. If he were drugging me in the evening, it would make sense that I would suddenly get groggy around dinner time. I had shrugged off those words as some sort of paranoid delusion, but I'm not so sure anymore. Something is going on. I need to know what it is. I look over at Camilla. Now that I feel closer to her, I desperately want to tell her about the text message I got. But how can I trust her? She works for Graham, not me. The last text was so insistent that I delete everything. It makes me think I ought to keep my mouth shut. Of course, Camilla is coming with me to the dog park. How am I going to talk to anybody there without her hearing? My chest is feeling tight by the time we get to the dog park. There are quite a lot of people with their dogs in there, especially for mid-morning, which I suppose is a good thing. I scan the crowd looking for a familiar face. There is a couple holding hands, a tall man wearing jeans that are a couple of inches too short, like he had a growth spurt recently, even though he's got to be at least 40, a college-age girl talking loudly on her phone, and another man with a baseball cap, thick beard, and sunglasses. You can go in with Ziggy, Camilla says. She pats her purse. I'll sit outside and read. I blink at her. You're not going in? She scoffs. Sit in that crowded dog park with all the dogs barking in my ear, surrounded by dog poop? No thanks. She points out a bench about 20 feet from the entrance to the dog park. I'll be right here if you need me. I can't imagine what I would need her for. I know how to get home, after all, but given the lock situation in our house, I'm guessing she's not allowed to leave me alone. The bench she picked gives an excellent visualization of the only way out of the dog park. I'm just hoping that whatever she's reading is very absorbing. Ziggy nearly breaks down the door to the park in his eagerness. I throw open the latch, and we enter the enclosure. I unhook his leash, and now he's free. He races around the park, finding a place to dig. Meanwhile, I plop down on a bench in the dog park as I scan the occupants of the park. I immediately rule out the couple. They're way too into each other. At one point, the woman sticks her hand in the man's pocket. Ew. The college-age girl is popping gum and having an enthusiastic conversation on her phone. She could have not cared less that I entered the park. That leaves the two men. I stare at the tall man. Does he look familiar? I watch as he bends down to pet the fur of a large bulldog. As he straightens up, our eyes meet across the dog park. He winks at me.
It's not him.
I swivel my head to the side. While I was studying the tall man, the other man, the one with the sunglasses and beard and Mets cap, sat down next to me. Ziggy notices too and trots over to him. The man reaches into his pocket, pulls out a treat, and Ziggy happily eats it right out of his hand. Excuse me, I say. Please don't feed my dog without asking. The man lifts his face to look at me. He pulls off his sunglasses so that I can see his eyes and, oh my God, it's Harry. Chapter 22. It's Harry. It's really him. I can't believe it. Harry! I can't help myself. I throw my arms around him and get the hug that I've been wanting and needing the whole day since I woke up this morning and my whole life was turned upside down. Harry hugs me back like he needed it just as badly, and for a moment we are both clinging to each other. He still has that familiar smell, Dial soap and that shampoo he uses that has the woodsman in the picture on the front. I lift my face and bring my lips to his, but he gently pushes me away. There's a pained expression on his face, although it's nothing compared to the ache I'm feeling inside. Harry, we can't. He shoves his sunglasses back up his nose to hide his eyes. With those shades and the beard and the cap, it was hard to recognize. He looks very different.
Camilla is right there. She'll see.
But
please, Tess, don't make this harder.
The frustration in his voice mirrors what I'm feeling inside. This man is my fiancé. Why can't I kiss him? There's something wrong with the world if I can't do that. But instead of the passionate kiss that I badly want, he instead shifts down the bench so there's a good 2 feet between us. I look over at Camilla, who is reading on her Kindle. She doesn't even seem to notice us. The last thing I remember, I say, is being engaged to you. We were living in that house together and we were planning our wedding. And our honeymoon.
Someplace hot with lots of beaches.
Harry finishes for me with a crooked smile. We never got married, though. My voice breaks on the words. And now I'm married to some guy named Graham Thurman. How did that happen? Above the rim of his sunglasses, Harry's eyebrows are bunched together.
I don't know, Tess. It's not what I wanted, that's for sure.
Are you married to someone else?
No, he shakes his head. There's never been anyone else but you.
I drop my eyes. I can't keep talking about this or else I'm going to cry. I found a note to myself this morning. I wrote it on my leg where nobody but me would see it. It said that Graham has been drugging me.
Yeah, that's what you've been telling me.
I have? Harry adjusts the baseball cap on his head. I miss his hair, the way it always sort of stuck up a little on top, no matter what he did. I want to be with him so much, it's physically painful, especially since he's so close. I could reach out and touch him.
You contacted me about a month ago. You tracked me down and we met. You told me about your accident and your suspicions about Graham, and you asked me to help you.
And?
Of course I tried to help, but it's been challenging.
He glances over at Camilla.
It's hard to get you alone. And of course, every morning you've forgotten everything that happened the day before, so we have to start from scratch and you don't always believe me.
I drop my eyes. I'm sorry. It's hard to know what to believe. Graham told me I lose my memory every night.
Right. And that's strange.
Harry is looking at me, but his expression is hard to read with those sunglasses concealing his eyes.
I spoke to some doctors, and they said that losing your memory every night like that, it's not what you would expect with a brain injury. It's more like what you might expect with a drug, although they couldn't name any drugs that would do something like that.
Self-consciously, I reach for the scar on the right side of my skull. But there was an accident. I have a scar.
I'm not disagreeing that you were in an accident. I'm just wondering if it was the accident that did this to you.
So, I bite down on my lip hard enough that I'm worried I've drawn blood. You think it's true? You think Graham is drugging me? He pinches the bridge of his nose.
Yes, that's exactly what I think.
I sit there, staring down at my hands, absorbing this piece of information. I was happier thinking that it was all just a delusion. But this is real. Graham is really doing this to me. Now that I know, I say, I'll be careful around him. I won't drink or eat anything he gives me unless he's eating it or drinking it himself.
Yeah, Harry shifts on the bench. The thing is, you have said those exact words to me multiple times now. You knew he was drugging you. You tried to avoid it. And the next day, nothing has changed. You've still lost your memory.
So, maybe this means it's not a drug? He pulls the brim of his baseball cap down lower.
Maybe. I don't know.
Ziggy trots over to me, carrying a stick in his mouth. He places it on my lap and looks up at me expectantly. I take the stick and throw it across the length of the park. He goes nuts chasing after it.
What if we take off? I say. You and me. What if we just leave right now? We can take Ziggy with us.
Harry flashes a sad smile.
It's not that simple.
Why not?
Because he's your husband.
He ticks it off on his fingers.
Also, he's your legal guardian. You go with me and I'm kidnapping you, whether or not you came willingly.
My chest tightens as I absorb his words. I want to believe that can't be true, but I have a feeling he's right. When the police showed up this morning, they didn't even listen to what I had to say. They assumed I was too impaired to know what was going on. Even if Harry told them otherwise, they wouldn't believe it.
Graham has a desk upstairs, Harry says. That's what you told me. There's a drawer that's always locked, and you said you think that's where he's keeping whatever he's giving you. But as far as I know, you haven't been able to find the key. He must keep it on him.
Oh. Ziggy trots back with the stick, but this time he gives it to Harry. Harry rubs him on his head and the dog pants happily. Then Harry tosses the stick again.
I'm sorry.
Harry is looking off to where Ziggy is searching for the stick.
I wish I could tell you more. I wish I could do more. All I can do is tell you the things you already knew days ago that didn't help at all. This is frustrating.
Yeah, my throat feels tight. What about Lucy?
Lucy?
You remember Lucy? I study his expression. I wish he would take off those sunglasses again so I could see his eyes. My best friend from college. We used to hang out. His lips curl in disgust.
Yeah, I remember Lucy.
Well, I don't need to see his eyes to recognize his feelings about Lucy. I'm shocked by the amount of venom in his voice. When Harry first met Lucy, they seemed to get along well enough, but over the years, he became less and less enthusiastic whenever I mentioned her name. I finally confronted him about it.
She's kind of toxic, isn't she? He had said. She never passes up an opportunity to put you down.
But he was wrong. Okay, Lucy had her flaws, but she wasn't a toxic friend, and she might be the only person who I trust right now. Maybe Lucy could help. I dig my phone out of my pocket. Her number is on my phone. We must still be in contact. I could call her and—
No, no, Harry flinches. Don't tell Lucy about this. You can't tell anybody about this.
I can trust Lucy.
Don't tell Lucy anything.
His jaw tightens under his beard. I've never seen Harry with a beard before. I can't decide if I like it.
You can't trust anyone.
How about you? He slides off his shades for a minute to stare at me. The sight of his brown eyes makes me want to reach out and throw my arms around him again.
You can trust me.
But you just said—
Right, but—
He leans in slightly.
Fine. Maybe you can't trust me. But you're the one who came to me, and I've been trying to help you. And it would be hard for me to be responsible for any of this, considering before last month, we hadn't seen each other in 6 years.
That last revelation hits me like a punch in the gut. 6 years? We haven't seen each other in 6 years?
Well, we broke up. What, were we supposed to stay best friends?
Why did we break up? He just shakes his head. Harry.
You want to know why we broke up?
There's more than a twinge of bitterness in his voice.
Because you believed a bunch of lies about me, and then Graham was ready and waiting to swoop in 5 seconds later, ready to tell you what a shit I am, and you believed it. Although to be fair, I'm sure he was very convincing.
Graham told me, I think back to my conversation this morning. He said he met me when he saved my life. He gave me the Heimlich maneuver when I was choking. Harry bursts out laughing.
Seriously? He told you that? No, that's not what happened. He worked for you as a freaking accountant. Except he wanted more. He wanted you and he wanted your company.
Why would he want my company?
You know your company is a pretty big deal now, right? I mean, you're huge. And now that you're out of the game, Graham is in charge, just like he wanted.
I didn't know my company was a big deal. The last thing I remember, yes, we were doing okay, starting to turn a small profit. We were on our way up, but nothing that amazing. But Graham had on that expensive suit, and he looked like a successful businessman. I had no idea the business he was successful at was my own. I don't know what to say, I murmur. Harry adjusts the Mets cap on his head. Even with the sunglasses off, I still can't quite read his expression. Much like the face that stared back at me in the mirror this morning, Harry looks older too. He's 3 years older than I am, so he must be pushing 40 now, and he looks it. His beard is peppered with gray. When he laughed, there were more lines than there used to be. But he is still the same guy. The same cute guy who talked circles around the employee at the store where I was trying to buy a computer that first day we met. The same guy who got down on one knee and begged me to spend my life with him. And I said yes because I couldn't imagine ever being with anyone else. I don't want to go back to him, I say in a small voice. I want to stay with you. Please. His brows knit together.
I know. I want to be with you too. You have no idea how much.
I have some idea.
I thought I'd get over it when you broke it off. And sometimes I thought I almost did, but then you called me and...
His Adam's apple bobs.
I wish we could leave together. I really do.
So let's go. Come on. He glances at Camila, still absorbed in her book. He almost seems to consider it, but then Camila looks up. Fast as lightning, Harry has his sunglasses back on.
We can't do this. You have to go.
But
don't take anything he gives you.
His voice is firm, leaving no room for discussion.
See if you can get into that drawer in his desk. And if you need me,
he glances at Camila again, then reaches out for my arm. He pushes up the sleeve of my sweater, then brandishes a pen from his jacket pocket. He writes 10 digits on my forearm.
That's my number. Call me if you need me, but don't let anyone else see it.
His fingers linger on my arm just a moment longer than they need to. A tingle goes through my skin. He's about to leave, and I can't bear it. I reach out and grab the sleeve of his jacket. Don't go, Harry. He lowers his head.
Don't make this harder.
He stands up and lets out a low whistle. A brown mutt sprints across the dog park and comes right to Harry. He pulls a leash out of his pocket and attaches it to the dog's collar. He gives me one last look, then he and his dog leave the dog park without me. My eyes stray from Harry, back to where Camila is sitting at the bench right outside the dog park. She wasn't looking at us a minute ago, but now her gaze is directed right at me, like a laser beam. I get a prickling sensation in the back of my neck. Did she see me talking to him? Harry was sitting all the way across the bench from me. But if she had been watching us, I'm sure she would have noticed we were talking. It seemed like she was absorbed in her book the entire time. But now I'm not so sure. Maybe she saw everything. I allow my eyes to meet hers. On the way to the dog park, Camila told me one of her secrets, I don't know whether she knows my secret or not, but I'm hoping if she does, she'll keep it for me. Chapter 23. When I get home, I'm itching to go upstairs and have a look in Graham's office, but Camilla won't leave me alone. We have lunch together, then she plops down next to me on the sofa and picks up the remote control. What do you feel like watching? She asks. I frown at the TV. I didn't bring up to Camilla the possibility that she saw me talking to Harry, and neither did she. But it's all I can think about. What are my options? Basically anything. We can rent any movie you want, and most TV shows are available streaming. Really? It's an interesting concept, but slightly overwhelming. How can you decide on anything if your options are everything? So, say I wanted to watch The Princess Bride. I could just do it? Camilla snickers. Unfortunately, yes. We have watched that movie 5 billion times. Ballpark estimate. When I was a kid, my mother and I used to watch The Princess Bride at least once a month. It was our favorite movie to watch together. My father started teasingly calling me Princess Buttercup, or Princess for short. My greatest fear used to be of six-fingered men, until I found out my mother had cancer, and I found out there were a lot of things to be afraid of beyond men with the wrong number of fingers. After she was gone, my father never called me Princess again. But I still love the movie. It always makes me think of the before time with my mother. It's my favorite way to remember her. 5 billion is a lot, I say. I'm sorry I did that to you. Liar, Camilla says. Fine, let me make it up to you. What do you want to watch? She lifts a shoulder. I'm not much of a TV person. Even when you were a kid? I think back to my childhood. When I was little, my mother would only let me watch Sesame Street. As I got to be older, I was allowed more television privileges, but she was still pretty strict about my screen time. Of course, after she was gone, my father let me watch whatever I wanted. I spent most of my non-school hours in front of the television when I was a teenager. She taps a finger against her chin. After school, every day, I would go to my grandmother's house and we would watch telenovelas. She had two of them she was really into, and I would get into them too. I couldn't wait to get home and see if, like, Luisa would go through with killing Alberto. I raise an eyebrow. Did she? Of course she did. It's a telenovela. Camila gives that throaty laugh. God, I haven't thought about that in years. I used to go to my grandmother's house every day. And then I remember one day, my mother said I couldn't go anymore. She said Abuelita wasn't feeling well. She didn't tell me until 2 months later that she had died. Oh, no. They didn't tell you for 2 months? I know, can you imagine? She scowls. I don't know what they thought would happen. Maybe I would forget her and stop asking. I even missed the funeral because of them. They should have just told me the truth. I'll never forgive them for that. Camilla is looking down at her hands. I'm not sure what to say. I want to comfort her, but at the same time, I hardly know her, even though she knows me very well. I'm sorry. I finally say. She takes a moment to respond. It's fine. Like I said, it was many years ago. I haven't thought about it in so long. She lifts her eyes. So, what would you like to watch? A movie? A TV show? Somehow, I have lost all my enthusiasm for television. Actually, I say, I'd sort of like to read. Where are my books? She nods at the corner of the room where there's a 5-shelf wooden bookcase overflowing with paperbacks. Over there. But you don't read often. I mean, usually. I used to like to read, so that sounds strange. How come? You said it's frustrating. If you don't finish the book in one day, you've forgotten everything that happened and you have to start all over again. For a while, you would write yourself notes on what had already happened in the book, but then you stopped doing it. Oh, it makes sense. And it's a depressing thought. I don't feel like watching any TV right now, though. Camilla gives me a long look. Finally, she gets to her feet. I'm going to the kitchen. Give me a yell if you need anything. Camilla disappears into the kitchen, but I don't want to go snooping around the house quite yet. Instead, I reach for my phone and make sure I don't have any missed calls, namely from my father or Lucy. But no, neither of them has returned my messages. I suppose I'm not surprised that Lucy hasn't called back, considering she's probably busy at work. But why isn't my father calling back? He was getting close to retiring 7 years ago, so he's surely retired by now. Meaning all he's got to do is sit around all day. Is it possible he has a girlfriend? Maybe that's what's taking up all his time. Of course, it's hard to imagine. I'm fairly sure there have been no other women in my father's life since my mother died. At first, I was glad he was honoring her memory, that he wouldn't find somebody to replace my beloved mother. But then, after I finished high school and went to college, I worried about him. He was all alone, and it didn't seem to bother him one bit. When dating websites became more popular, I encouraged him to put up an ad.
"I'm not interested, Tess," he would always insist. "I'm fine. Don't worry so much."
But I did worry. He said he was fine, but he never seemed happy. The happiest I ever saw him was when I brought Harry home with me for the first time. We had been dating for about 6 months, and things were getting pretty serious.
"He's a good man," my father told me the next time we talked. "He's going to be there for you for the rest of your life."
Well, he was wrong about that one. I grit my teeth as I stared down at my father's number on my phone. Why isn't he calling me back? I don't understand it. But I'm not going to make him call by staring at the screen. So instead, I bring up an internet browser so I can Google the name of my company. Harry was right. My home spa is a big deal now. It seems like pretty soon after Harry and I got engaged, the company took off. People went crazy for the high-end spa products you could use in your own home. No wonder we had the money to make our house look like something out of a magazine. And no wonder we have the money to pay for Camila to babysit me all day. Is that Graham's motivation? Did he want to take over the company so badly he turned me into a zombie just so he could be the CEO? Would I marry somebody so ridiculously diabolical? My fingers traced the scar on my scalp. Something happened to me. There was an accident. I just wish I knew what happened next. I only see one small mention of me in the last year, saying that Tess Thurman asks for privacy as she recovers from a car accident. After I'm done looking up myself, I Google the name Harrison Finch. But while my name is all over the internet, he's a ghost. I see nothing about him. It's like after we broke up, he just vanished. It makes me wonder how I found him in the first place. I wish he had let me go with him this morning. I don't want to be back here anymore. I wanted to leave with him. I don't understand why he was so resistant. I search my phone for the messages he sent me, but then remember he told me to delete them. I roll up the sleeve of my shirt. The digits Harry scribbled are still there, a reminder of our brief meeting. I close my eyes and feel that little tingle in my arm, remembering the way his fingers felt on my skin. Before I can overthink it, I type the number into my phone and send off a text message. "I miss you." There's no response. I stare at the screen of my phone for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but still nothing. Did I imagine the entire encounter with Harry? Is that possible? No, it couldn't be. He wrote his number on my arm. That's proof. He was there. I know it. I'm not crazy. Then the reply pops up.
"I miss you too, Tess. You have no idea."
And then,
"Delete these messages."
I do as he tells me. After all, he has a good point. If someone is drugging me, they don't need to see these messages. Camila is still in the kitchen, out of sight. If I'm going to go upstairs and check Graham's office, now is the time. She'll never even know I'm up there. I shove my phone into my pocket and creep over to the staircase. The house has 3 bedrooms on the 2nd floor.
"One for us and one for each of our future children," Harry told me when we were looking at the house.
We weren't engaged back then, but we knew it was coming. We used to joke about the children we might have.
"2 boys," Harry would say.
"No," I would argue, "a boy and a girl."
"Fine, a boy and a girl, but I get to name them both."
And then we would compete to come up with the most psychologically damaging names for a child we could think of. At last count, the leading contender for our first child was Purple Monkey Dishwasher Finch. We had almost gotten to the point where we could say it without laughing. God, I really miss Harry. I try the doorknob to the room next to our bedroom. The knob turns easily, revealing a guest bedroom. The bed is neatly made, the navy blue bedspread neatly folded, and the pillow perfectly plumped. I wonder if Graham and I used to entertain overnight guests a lot before my accident. It occurs to me that Graham and I have been married 4 years, but we don't have children. Both of us are already in our late 30s, so it's unlikely that we were waiting to conceive in the future. I've always wanted children, and it surprises me that at this point in my life I still don't have any. Did Graham want children? Did he talk me out of it? Or did we try and fail to conceive? I consider asking him later, but the answer would probably be depressing. Anyway, it's the least of my problems right now. This situation would be so much more complicated if I had a small child to take care of right now, or if I woke up 6 months pregnant. I clutch my abdomen protectively at the thought of it. I try the doorknob to the next room over. Again, it turns easily in my hand. I push the door open, revealing a room containing a small love seat, a tall bookcase littered with hard covers and loose papers, and as promised, there's a mahogany desk in the corner of the room. I have found Graham's office. I approach the desk. Right next to his laptop is a framed photo of the two of us. We're on vacation, on the beach, looking tanned and happy. It's sweet. He wants to be reminded of our relationship while he's working. The whole thing doesn't quite make sense. I'm not in love with Graham because I just met the guy this morning, but he genuinely does not seem like an evil person. He seems nice. He's stepped up and kept my company afloat when I obviously can't. He's been taking care of me when he would be justified shutting me away in some sort of nursing home. He even made me breakfast this morning, even though it was horribly burned, and also I was too scared to eat it. Is it possible that Graham isn't drugging me? That somehow I got it all wrong and I dragged Harry into my delusion? I look down at the desk drawers. I pull them open one by one. They all open easily and are filled with papers related to my company. Until I get to the last drawer, which is locked. I rattle the drawer, listening for the sound of pills shaking. I don't hear anything like that. I wonder what made me think there was something important in this drawer. Was it just the fact that it's locked? I go through the other drawers again, this time looking for a key. I'm sure Graham keeps the key on his key ring, but I bet he's got a spare. Graham seems like the sort of guy who always has a spare key. When my phone rings, I nearly jump out of my skin. I fumble to pull it out of my pocket, terrified it's Graham and he knows what I'm doing. But it's not Graham. It's Lucy. Chapter 24. Lucy, I squeal into the phone. Oh, thank God. Tess, the sound of her familiar voice brings tears to my eyes. What's going on? Are you okay? Am I okay? Is she seriously asking me that? Well, I can't remember anything that happened before yesterday, so not really. Lucy sighs, a long, sad exhalation of breath. I know. I'm so sorry. I squeeze my eyes shut. It's horrible, Lucy. I feel like I'm stuck in a nightmare. Honestly, you're not usually like this. She sounds genuinely perplexed. You used to be a little scared in the morning, but by the afternoon, you always seemed okay. It's just this last month you seemed to freak out every day. A month. That's when Harry said I first contacted him. What happened 1 month ago that prompted this? Did anything happen to you today? She presses me. Something that upset you? I chew on my lip. I desperately want to tell her everything that happened to me today, about the note I left for myself on my thigh, about meeting Harry at the dog park. Lucy is my best friend, and if I can't trust her, who can I trust? Apart from her, there are apparently only 3 other people regularly in my life. And my father hasn't returned my call. But Harry warned me. He was emphatic. Don't tell Lucy. Nothing happened today, I finally say. It's just hard to wrap my head around everything. I know. I don't know how you do it every day. I don't think I could. I would have, like, killed myself or something. That doesn't make me feel any better. It's not like I have much of a choice. I know, she says. But God, it must be so hard for you. Not recognizing Graham all the time. Not being able to go anywhere without Camila having to tag along. Not being able to work or be a productive member of society. You are honestly a superstar for getting through it. I don't feel like a superstar, that's for sure. And everything Lucy is saying is only making me feel worse. Listen, can I ask you something? Of course, anything. Why did I break up with Harry? Lucy is quiet on the other line. She said I could ask her anything, but it's clear she wishes I hadn't asked her that. I don't know. Lucy, she lets out a huff. Tess, it happened ages ago. Why do you even want to know? Because the last thing I remember is being engaged to Harry. I miss him. Against my will, my eyes fill with tears. God, I miss him. If only he were here with me, I could deal with this memory loss. Please tell me what happened. If you care about me at all, you have to tell me. Please, I have to know. Are you sure you want to know this? Yes, I say, even though I'm not sure I do. I don't want to know, but I need to know. I need to know if I can trust Harry Finch. I need to know what awful thing he did that made me return the ring to the man I loved. She lowers her voice several notches. Harry, he grabbed me and tried to kiss me. I almost dropped the phone. What is she talking about? Harry would never do that. He never even looked at other women, and especially not Lucy. He didn't even like Lucy. How could he do something like that? He tried to kiss you? I repeat incredulously. Are you sure you have that right? I'm so sorry, Tess. Her voice cracks. I feel awful about it. You saw the whole thing. He did it in the living room, and you walked in right as I pushed him away and slapped him across the face. But he didn't even like you, I burst out. I mean, he was always saying that you... I don't want to repeat any of the negative comments Harry made about Lucy over the years, all of which contained a small grain of truth. Exactly, she snorts. He was always trying to hit on me when you weren't around, and he hated me for not playing along. I tried to tell you so many times, but I thought it was harmless until the day he grabbed me like that. He grabbed you? I'm having a hard time even imagining it. Harry was always so shy when it came to that sort of stuff. I still remember the first time he kissed me. We had just had dinner together, then he walked me back to my apartment building. We stood by the entrance to the building for well over an hour, talking to each other until finally the doorman came out and yelled, "Kiss her already, she wants you to." Harry's face had turned bright red. "Do you?" he asked nervously. And I nodded because the doorman was absolutely right. I had been wanting him to kiss me all night, and when he did, every part of me, down to my toenails, tingled. "You saw the whole thing, Tess," Lucy says. "He grabbed me, stuck his tongue down my throat. It was awful. He..." "Stop," I choke out the word. "Please stop. I get it." "I was so scared you might not forgive me," she says in a small voice. "But at least you saw I pushed him away and slapped him. I mean, as if I would ever be interested in Harry." I rub my aching right skull. Do I believe this? I guess I have to. Lucy isn't a stranger like Graham. She's my best friend. She wouldn't lie to me. And anyway, it makes sense. Harry would have had to do something awful for me to end our engagement. I broke up with him. That's a fact. He kissed my best friend. That bastard kissed my best friend. My father was wrong. He was not a good man. Tess, I'm here. Look, Lucy says, I know it all seems fresh right now, but believe me when I say you were totally over it. You're better off without him. Graham is great, like a million times better, and he doesn't hit on me. I still feel sick at the thought of Harry trying to kiss Lucy. How could he do something like that to me? It turns out I didn't know him as well as I thought I did. A disturbing thought occurs to me. What if it wasn't me who found Harry? What if he found out about my accident and decided it was a perfect opportunity to worm his way back into my life? And every day now he throws doubt into my head about whether my brain injury is real or not. He's manipulating me. Torturing me. Either because he wants me back, or maybe to punish me for breaking up with him. No, it couldn't be. Harry wouldn't do something like that. He's not capable of it. Then again, I would have said he wasn't capable of cheating. Are you okay? Lucy's voice sounds far away. Tess? I'm fine, I manage. I slide into the leather chair in front of Graham's desk. It's very comfortable. Like everything else in our house, it probably cost a fortune. Lucy, is there any chance you could come here? I really want to see you. I wish I could, she groans. Work is insane right now, and I don't know when I'm getting out of here. But tomorrow should be better. How about if I come for dinner tomorrow? Tomorrow. By tomorrow, I won't even remember I invited her. But what can I do? Sure, that sounds fine. Hang in there. I promise everything is going to be okay. I almost laugh out loud. Everything is going to be okay? Is she joking? Nothing is okay. And I'm beginning to think nothing will ever be okay ever again. Chapter 25. Camila cooks chicken and rice for dinner. The smell of garlic and wine sauce floats out of the kitchen until my stomach starts growling. But she says we can't eat until Graham gets home. It's 7:30 when I finally hear the front door unlock. Graham is home. I'm sitting on the couch watching television, having given up on the idea of trying to read a whole book in a single day. Maybe tomorrow. Graham's face breaks out in a smile when he sees me. He uses his thumb to loosen the knot of the dark blue tie that makes his eyes look so blue, even behind his glasses.
Hey, he says, have a good day?
I look up at this man, my husband, who may or may not be trying to drug me. Yes.
Glad to hear it.
He plops down next to me on the sofa. Ziggy has his head on my lap, and when he sees Graham, he lets out a low growl. I have to stroke his head to get him to calm down. I don't know why my dog seems to dislike Graham so much.
I wish you could come back to work, Graham sighs. It's hard doing it alone. I'm exhausted.
I pick at a loose thread on the seam of my jeans. Is there anything I could do to help?
Oh, Tess. He smiles and shakes his head. I wish you could, but just coming home to you at the end of a hard day makes it worth it.
A little bullshit detector is going off in the back of my head. Coming home to me makes it worth it? How could that possibly be true? I haven't even let Graham kiss me today. I've been searching his office behind his back. I called 911 on him, for God's sake. What on earth about me makes it all worthwhile?
Anyway, he pats me on the shoulder. The food smells fantastic. I'm starving.
As if on cue, Camila emerges from the kitchen holding two heaping plates of food. Graham leaps off the couch to help her. He rescues the plates from her hands and lowers them onto the dining table. One plate for me and one plate for Graham.
You're not joining us?
Graham asks her. My stomach churns at the thought of this beautiful girl joining my husband and me for dinner. Not that I feel jealous, exactly. It's hard to feel jealous when I have no attraction whatsoever for Graham. But I don't like the idea of him messing around behind my back. Although it's hard to imagine that he and I have sex much anymore, it's not going to happen tonight, that's for sure. That's okay, Camila says. I'll just get going. Graham's eyes hold hers.
Come on, Camila. You should join us. Right, Tess?
Yes, join us, I say tonelessly. No, you two should have your privacy. Camila wipes her hands on her jeans. Her fingernails are bitten to the quick. I have to get going anyway, but enjoy your dinner. At first, I think Graham is going to protest again, but he decides against it. I do notice him watching her as she makes her way to the front door and tugs on her jacket. But I can't blame the guy. She is incredibly beautiful. I'd say there's a 60% chance they're sleeping together. Camila exits through the front door, and right after she shuts the door behind her, Graham marches over to the door and locks it from the inside with the key in his pocket. I spent another hour searching after I hung up with Lucy, and I couldn't find any extra keys, either for the desk drawer or the front door. If they exist, they're very well hidden. In any case, I'm not going anywhere tonight.
Let's eat, Graham says.
Graham disappears back into the kitchen while I walk to the dining table like it's my last meal. In a sense, it is. The chicken Camila cooked is juicy and glistening with bits of rosemary sprinkled on top. The rice is yellow with flecks of red. Camila's at the table with a napkin for each of us, as well as a fork and a knife. I pick up my knife. It's a butter knife. Ziggy joins me at the table and looks up at me, hopefully, with those irresistible brown eyes. Before Graham returns and can scold me for it, I break off a little chunk of my chicken and let Ziggy gobble it out of my hand.
Got us drinks, Graham announces.
He's holding one glass of water, presumably for me, and a bottle of beer, presumably for him.
Now, let's eat.
I hold up the butter knife. How am I supposed to cut a piece of meat with this thing? Graham nods at his own place setting.
I've got the same thing. It works well enough. Do the best you can.
You mean you don't trust me to have a real knife? He's quiet for a moment.
It's better this way. Trust me.
Ziggy had jerked his head up at the sound of Graham's voice and turned to look at him. Now he snarls at my husband, who takes a step back and lowers the drinks onto the table. Graham raises his hands.
Whoa, Ziggy.
Ziggy barks loud enough to wake up everybody in the neighborhood. He takes another step toward Graham, who takes another step back. I've never seen Ziggy like this. Granted, I only met him this morning, but he seems like such a happy, friendly dog. He was even licking Harry's hand at the dog park, and he must know Graham better than Harry. Ziggy, I pat the leg of my pants. Leave Graham alone. Come to Mama. But Ziggy doesn't hear me. He's a dog with a mission. He snarls at Graham one more time, and before I can stop him, his sharp teeth have sunk into Graham's leg.
God damn it!
Graham shouts as I grab Ziggy's collar to restrain him. The fabric of Graham's expensive pants is ripped wide open.
He bit me! Your dog bit me!
Bad Ziggy, I snap at him. I keep my hand on Ziggy's collar because I'm genuinely afraid he's going to do it again. I don't know what the hell got into him. He seemed like the gentlest dog. Why would he bite Graham? Graham is pulling up the leg of his pants to assess the damage. Thankfully, I don't see any blood gushing from his leg. The skin doesn't even seem to be broken. He just bit the fabric, I say. You're not hurt, are you? He lifts his eyes, which are rimmed with fury.
Get that fucking dog outside, Tess.
Graham, I'm sorry. I'm sure he didn't mean to.
He didn't mean to bite me? He hisses. Obviously he did. Put him outside. From now on, he doesn't come into the house. I'm so sick of this shit.
I'm sorry, I say again. I'm desperate for him to forgive Ziggy. After all, he could get rid of Ziggy tonight, and by tomorrow, I wouldn't even remember he existed. But this dog is the best part of my life right now. I don't want Graham to take him away from me, even though I have to admit I couldn't entirely blame him. I'll take him outside now.
Good,
Graham snaps. He props his leg up on the chair to examine it further. I'm almost certain the skin isn't broken.
I'm going to go change. I want him out of the house by the time I'm back. Got it?
Without waiting for a reply, he storms upstairs. I don't have much of a choice. Ziggy is going outside. It'll be fine now. He's got a doghouse out there. The weather is nice. He might be happier in our backyard than he'd be in the house. I lead Ziggy to the back door. The lock hasn't been turned, and I'm able to open the door. Earlier this morning, I went out in the backyard and thought I'd be able to just leave, but then I discovered the padlock on the fence around the yard. This place is locked up tighter than Alcatraz. When I took Ziggy into the yard earlier, he seemed happy to play there, but now he looks up at me and whimpers. I'm sorry, boy, I stroke his soft head. I'll come for you in the morning and we'll do something fun. Not that I can promise that. I can't promise anything about tomorrow. Ziggy whimpers again. His expression breaks my heart. I still can't figure out why he bit Graham. It doesn't make any sense. But then again, nothing about this day makes any sense. I feel terrible about leaving Ziggy in the backyard, but he'll be fine out there. As for me, I'm not so sure. When I get back into the dining room, Graham is still upstairs. I look down at the beer bottle and glass of water he dropped on the table before he left. I think of the words I found written on my thigh. Graham is drugging you. Is it possible that he put something in my water glass? I lift the glass of water. I hold it up to the light of the ornate chandelier above our heads and peer at the clear liquid. but it's not entirely clear. When I squint, I can just make out little particles of a white substance swirling in the water. Graham's footsteps on the stairs startle me, and I nearly drop the water. He's coming downstairs. Now. What am I going to do? I can't think of anything else to do, so I toss the contents of the water glass into a nearby plant. I'll tell him I drank it all. Hopefully the plant will be okay, but that's the least of my concerns.
Tess?
Graham is at the entrance to the dining room, now dressed in a t-shirt and jeans. He looks handsome in his casual attire, but there's something in his eyes that makes me uneasy.
What are you doing?
I force a smile. I was just thirsty and gulped down all my water while I was waiting for you. I'll just grab some more water from the kitchen. Graham narrows his eyes at me. He takes a step closer to me, and I instinctively take a step back.
No, he says. You're lying.
Chapter 26. I hold onto the edge of the table because my legs have turned to jello. Graham's blue eyes look almost black as he glares at me.
You're lying, he says.
What do you mean? I plaster an innocent expression on my face. It's hard to believe it looks even remotely realistic.
You didn't drink that water, he hisses at me.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. You poured the water into the plant. I saw you do it.
Crap. I think back to the conversation I had with Harry at the dog park.
You have said those exact words to me multiple times now. You knew he was drugging you. You tried to avoid it, and the next day nothing has changed. You've still lost your memory.
Is this what happened all those other nights? I tried to get rid of the tainted water and Graham caught me. And now what will he do?
Why did you do that? He presses me. Why did you dump out your water?
I tug on the sleeve of my sweater. It looked cloudy. I don't know, like maybe something was floating in it. He narrows his eyes.
Did somebody tell you I was putting something in your water?
No, I say quickly, maybe too quickly. Graham is looking down at something. I follow his gaze and realize he's staring at my arm. I was fiddling with the sleeve of my sweater, and I had inadvertently tugged it up several inches. And now, Graham can see the last several digits of a phone number. Oh no. He crosses the distance between us and seizes my left arm in his hand, hard enough to leave behind bruises. He wrenches up my sleeve, revealing the digits Harry scribbled on my arm. Graham's eyes widen behind his spectacles.
Really? Are you kidding me with this, Tess?
I open my mouth to say something, but no words come out. I'm starting to see why Camilo was only allowed to set the table with butter knives. He releases my arm and glares at me.
Whose number is that? Who have you been talking to?
Before I can answer, he says,
Is it Harry?
I shake my head as vigorously as I can, but it's clear Graham doesn't believe me. He marches into the living room, and after a second, I can see what he's going for. My phone. He picks it up and unlocks it with his thumb. I hold my breath as he scrolls through my messages and phone calls. Thank God I deleted those text messages from Harry. He was right when he instructed me to do that. Graham shakes the phone at me.
Did you delete the messages from him?
No, I cry. I didn't. He grunts.
Yeah, right.
Holding the phone in one hand, he grabs my left arm again to look at Harry's number. I squirm, trying to get loose, but his grip is like a vice. With his thumb, he types the number into the phone, then hits the button to make the call. I watch him, my heart pounding. He waits long enough that I'm certain the call has gone to voicemail.
Hey, Harry?
Graham shoots me a look as he says my ex-fiancé's name.
I found your phone number written on Tess's arm. I'd really appreciate it if you would leave her the fuck alone from now on. Or else. We don't need you in our lives. And I swear to God, if you bother her again, you are going to live to regret it. You get me?
He ends the call, his eyes still locked with mine. At first, it looks like he's going to toss my phone back on the table, but instead he puts it in his pocket.
You're not getting this back. Ever. I'm sick of this shit.
Okay, I say in a small voice. His shoulders rise and fall as he takes a breath.
I'm sorry I yelled at you. I shouldn't have lost my temper.
I don't know what to say to that. Losing his temper isn't the worst thing he has done tonight. He tried to drug me, for God's sake.
Listen.
His voice is calmer now. He pushes his glasses up the bridge of his nose.
I have no clue what Harry has been saying to you. I can only imagine. But whatever it is, it's not true. He doesn't know what's going on.
Right, I mumble. All I can think of is that I escaped drinking that water. By tomorrow, I'll remember everything, and I can work on getting free from this monster.
Tess, look at me.
I lift my eyes to meet his. All the anger from a moment ago has vanished. What?
I'm not trying to drug you. You have to believe me. I would never do anything to hurt you.
I shake my head. So, what was in that drink? I saw something. He rubs at the back of his neck.
You're right. There was something dissolved in that drink, but it wasn't anything bad. It was your medications, Tess, prescribed by the doctor you see for your head injury.
What medications?
For your seizures.
He tugs at the hem of his t-shirt.
You were getting horrible seizures after your accident. Your whole body would shake, and you hit your head twice when it happened. One of the times you hit your head, the bleeding in your brain got worse. You need to be on your seizure medications.
He frowns.
But lately you've been refusing to take them because you think I'm drugging you for some reason, so I started putting them in your drink. I'm sorry. I didn't do it to upset you. I just thought it would be easier this way.
I think of the ominous message I found scribbled on my thigh this morning. I don't believe you.
Fine. Do you want me to show you?
Before I can answer, Graham gestures at me to follow him, and he leads me down the hallway to the downstairs bathroom. If this is a game of chicken, he's playing it very well. He opens the medicine cabinet and pulls out two orange